You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk about the rise of free-range parenting. Our guest says lower-income families are held to a different standard when it comes to parenting choices. First, Ford recently announced that it's going to phase out production of some of its most well-known cars. After years of declining car sales, the Ford company plans to do away with the Taurus, the Fusion, and the Fiesta. It's also going to eliminate the C-Max van. However, Ford said it's going to keep making Mustangs and roll out a new Focus crossover next year. The changes allow Ford to put more of its resources into trucks and SUVs, which have grown in popularity. In addition, Ford plans to bring 16 electric vehicles to the market over the next handful of years. So what do these changes mean for the future of Ford and the rest of the auto industry and for consumers? Jamie Page Deaton is the managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report. She's also a North American Car and Truck of the Year juror. Jamie, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, symbolic value-wise, Ford is the company that started putting cars in everyone's driveways before they even had driveways, probably. How big a deal is it to see Ford really separating itself so much from the car market right now?
Well, really, it depends on who you ask. I think if you're really into automotive history, to see Ford leave the car market is a little bit bittersweet. But for consumers, honestly, I don't think a lot of them are going to notice. And that's because consumers aren't buying Ford cars, which is why they've decided to move away from that segment of the market. If you just look at auto sales in general, sales of crossovers and light-duty SUVs and trucks are really outpacing car sales. And car sales across all brands have been declining for many years now, and they really just haven't found the bottom yet. So it's, financially speaking, in the short term, this is a really smart move by Ford.
What's up with us car shoppers that we're not buying cars? We're getting trucks and SUVs more and more.
Well, really, you know, there's a couple of factors there. One is gas is cheap. There's really no penalty now for buying an SUV. People aren't feeling it in their wallets. Beyond gas being less expensive than it has been in the past, SUVs are really getting better fuel economy than they used to. In fact, a lot of Ford SUVs actually match the fuel economy of some of the cars that they're killing. So, for example, if you get a 2018 Ford Taurus with all-wheel drive, it gets a combined 19 miles to the gallon. Well, that's the same fuel economy as a Ford Edge all-wheel drive SUV. And then if you get, you know, a Ford EcoSport all-wheel drive, which is one of their newer small crossovers, it gets 25 miles to the gallon combined, whereas the Ford Fusion all-wheel drive gets 23 miles to the gallon combined. So consumers have really moved into SUVs as there's been, you know, less of a fuel economy penalty for them to pay. Beyond that, too, consumers really like crossovers, SUVs, and trucks because of the higher seating position. I think there's a conception there that, you know, you've got better visibility, you feel a little bit safer. And also today's SUVs and crossovers are just much more comfortable and much more practical than they used to be.
You mentioned this is across the industry, this trend away from cars. Was Ford feeling that maybe more than other manufacturers?
Yeah, if you look at the decline in the sales of these Ford cars, I mean, some of them were down, you know, in the double digits year over year. Whereas if you compare that to sales of, say, the Honda Accord, now the Honda Accord year over year has seen sales decline of about 6%, which is bad, but not nearly as bad as some of, you know, the 22% sales decline that Ford has seen.
How does this all affect the corporate average fuel economy standards, which may be up for a change that's fleet-wide? Is this going to make it harder, easier, neither for Ford to keep up with standards?
Well, it really depends on who you ask. Ford is saying that this should be no big deal for them because, as they point out, a lot of their crossovers and SUVs get similar fuel economy to some of the cars that they're killing. Beyond that, too, Ford is going to take a lot of the money that they've been losing on these cars and invest it in hybrids and electric vehicles. So if they continue on that path, it shouldn't be that hard for them to meet these standards, which industry-wide, you know, they're a little bit ahead of some of the targets that were set by the Obama administration. Now, if, you know, the Trump administration, if they back off on these standards and consumers continue to just move, you know, vote with their wallets and move towards trucks and SUVs, then it might be a little bit harder because in those cases, Ford will just be responding to the market. You know, they won't have to invest the money in developing more efficient vehicles. And frankly, they will be delivering vehicles that consumers are asking for, but will be end up being a little bit less efficient. And then, too, if the law changes, they don't have to meet the same standards, you know, and the market's not demanding that they meet the same standards. Well, why would they? So we might see them shift a little bit depending on what happens, you know, with the current administration and really what consumers do.
Do we have a little bit of amnesia here because gas prices did get up, you know, to $4 a gallon in a lot of places? Theoretically, that could happen again, right?
Oh, absolutely. So this is why, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, in the short term,
you did use the phrase
really
in the short term, yeah,
by Ford. Because they, you know, they saw their stock move up. They're taking their resources out of less profitable products and putting them into more profitable products. But if there were something that caused gas prices to spike, Ford would be left with no, you know, fuel-efficient products unless they really invest robustly in their, you know, electric vehicles and in their hybrid vehicles. So Ford could really be caught flat-footed if things change, you know, within the oil market. At this point, though, you know, they're doubling down on their SUVs and not expecting, you know, gas prices to go up. So we'll just have to kind of keep an eye on it and see what happens.
Talking to Jamie Page Deaton, managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report, about the news from Ford that they're mostly getting out of the car market, focusing on trucks, SUVs, and maybe the electric cars of the future. Jamie, let's look at the models that are going away. Probably the best known one, I guess, is the Taurus. Was it a bad car? Was there a reason it was not selling as well as it used to?
Absolutely not. The Taurus is a great car. The reason it's not selling well is really just consumers want crossovers and SUVs. You know, we're seeing decline across all brands with cars. And, you know, if you look at a lot of these, too, you know, if you're in the market for a car, you know, any of these discontinued Ford models would be excellent choices, particularly if you look at the smaller models like the Ford Focus and the Ford Fiesta. They have some high-performance variants that are just wicked good fun to drive. And now we're seeing discounts now, you know, of up to $5,000. And these are cars that you used to never be able to get a discount on. But really, you're going to see some of the best deals on cars like the Taurus and cars like the Fusion that don't have that kind of enthusiast following. So, you know, if you're a consumer and you're looking for a car and you don't really care about driving an SUV or a crossover, this is a great opportunity for you to pick up some very good models at deeply discounted prices.
I don't know if you can predict the timing. If somebody's in the market, should they be shopping this weekend? Should they wait until the line peters out, I don't know, through the rest of this year and early next year? Well, how do you time this the best?
Well, I mean, the closer you get to the end of the line, the better the deals are going to be, is what we're anticipating. Now, that could, of course, change if all of a sudden, you know, there's a, you know, uproar in the oil market or something like that. But, you know, already, like I said, we're seeing some discounts on some of the smaller models. Already, dealers were offering a lot of discounts on these cars because the sales were so slow. The Taurus is slated to end next spring, and so you might be able to get your best deals then. Some of these other cars, they haven't announced the timeline for doing away with them. So if you really like, for example, you know, the Fusion, which is a great car and, you know, one of the few mid-size sedans that you can actually get with all-wheel drive, you know, that's one where I would just kind of keep an eye out and start tracking prices. You can go to cars.usnews.com, and we have pricing tools where we track real-time prices and real-time transaction prices, so what people are actually paying for cars in your zip code. So that is a great tool so you can kind of track it and see what's going on. We also offer buying insights where we track sales numbers. We track what automakers are spending on incentives, and, you know, we track transaction prices. So we have our team of analysts saying, all right, if you want this car, buy now. So you can track that a little bit over time. But generally, the closer you get to the demise of a car, the lower price you're going to pay.
I want to talk about brand loyalty a little bit. I grew up not too far from Detroit, and, you know, we'd see the stickers, rather push a Ford than drive a Chevy, and Chevy enthusiasts had their own things. Those two brands really had a dueling fan base. If there's a Ford fan who wants this kind of car, what are they going to do? Are they going to be loyal still to Ford and try to find a way to stay with Ford, or does it not work that way anymore?
You know, where we really see the brand loyalty is in the truck markets and in the kind of the enthusiast market. So if you've driven, you know, an F-150 your entire life, you would definitely not be switching over to Chevy, and you won't need to because the F-150 is so profitable for Ford. But the cars that they're looking at, you know, getting rid of, the Fusion, the Taurus, and the Focus, and the Fiesta, with the exception of the high-performance models, of the Fiesta and the Fusion, there's really not going to be a lot of brand loyalty there. You know, maybe there's some people who, you know, will go from, you know, driving a Taurus to driving an Edge or something like that. But I think a lot of those buyers are going to be totally fine going over from a Taurus into a Chevy Impala, which is another good car, or a Toyota Avalon even.
Once upon a time, I think if you said the word car in America, people would picture the black Model T by Ford. Now, I think if you say pickup truck in America, the image that pops into people's heads is going to be the F-150. How did Ford get so dominant in the pickup truck models these days?
Well, I mean, they just chipped away at it. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't realize is Ford was introducing trucks alongside the Model T as well. They had truck versions. And so they were really kind of the company that invented the pickup truck. And they've just chipped at it and chipped away at it, you know, for well over 100 years now. And so they've become incredibly dominant. You know, the F-150 is, you know, not only the best-selling truck in America, it is the best-selling vehicle in America. And really it comes down to they offer consumers what they want with the F-150. You can get an F-150, you know, you can get it kitted out as a basic work truck, and you can get it kitted out as a King Ranch super luxury truck and really everything in between. You know, the F-150, if you get the big four-door model, it makes a good family hauler that you can throw your toys in on the weekend. And you can also get it with some really high-tech tools. You know, they have systems that'll track, you know, using RFID tags, they'll track, you know, your tools to make sure you didn't leave them at a job site. You can print bills and invoices from inside the truck. So really by staying at the forefront of what consumers are looking for with trucks and also offering all the capability, and at the same time, you know, Ford has really done a good job making their trucks very fuel efficient. So again, consumers don't pay a penalty at the pump for driving a truck, or at least they don't pay as big a one as they used to. That's really kept them on top when it comes to sales. But as you mentioned before, you know, there are some brand loyalists. I'm sure there's some listeners now, you know, driving along in their Chevy or driving along in their Ram who think that I'm full of it. But if you just look
they've
at what Ford's done over the years.
Yeah. Jamie, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jamie Page Deaton is the managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report. We talked with her about Ford's decision to kill three of its main passenger cars.